Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your host, Father Now, Sabbath Gathering Online Ministry. And this ministry really focuses on the right and what is promised us in the body of Christ as we are being kingdom citizens. And today we will address a couple of things. One we're going to deal with John 17, verse 20 through 26. And we are going to look at something that was written 40 years ago, approximate. It's a song. And you said, now, why are you, okay, what kind of song? This is a song that was written and sung in the clubs. And why you have to go there? One of the reasons I have to go there is because I believe that all information, all knowledge comes from the Creator. And the Creator knew at certain points and times that the people that he needed to carry his message are going to be in the clubs. And in so doing, he put lyrics into music that was played in the club. And a lot of us say that that's the devil's music. But maybe so. But who made the devil? Who made Satan? Who made Lucifer? The Creator. Lucifer, devil, Satan, whatever terminology you want to use to describe him in terms of a name, it still goes back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Who's here in the beginning? In the beginning, it was the Creator. And what did the Creator do? And what is a creator? What is a creator? And let's get that established first. You say you make things. What did you do? You took something, an idea, and you took something and modified that something that was in existence already. And as a result of that, you came up with something that was different from what it was whenever you started out with. You made that because you did not create it. You made it because the pieces that you found, that you modified, was already in existence. Think about it now. We have to make a distinction between who's the creator and what the creator is about. What the Creator has done, what the Creator can do that you can't do or I can't do. And as we look at this, what do we see? We see man is incapable of creating anything new. Man can only modify that which he found in creation. Now, go back. We're still talking about who can do what. What exists before the Creator? According to the book of Genesis, nothing. Everything was null and void. And out of the nothingness, the Creator created the heavens. So if there was no heavens at first, and he created the heavens, then there was nothing in the heavens because heavens didn't exist. So that's what I'm saying. So then the Creator evidently created the angels. And he created the angels with free will. He didn't create robots. Angels had the ability to follow the commandments or follow what the Creator charged them with or not. And so we come down to Earth, what we call the Earth. There was no Earth as we know it. The Creator created it. Created it. So if the Creator created the Earth, then the Creator created the humans, everything that they're there. Now, we have to believe that. You have to believe that. We have to believe it. Otherwise, it would not be so. Think about it. We could come up with a million other explanations, and none of them will merge up to what the Creator was capable of doing. And so, saying all that to say that the devil is under authority and control of the Creator because the Creator made Lucifer, who was in heaven, one of the musicians, the head angels, who made a decision to be disobedient, to disobey the Creator. And the Creator cast him out of heaven, which says that he had authority and power over that angel. The angel didn't have an authority over the one that created him. So now, well, my point is, when we get back to dealing with music and anything that comes out of creation, the Creator has the ultimate authority. I said, now let's forget ultimate. The Creator has, because ultimate, if I say ultimate, then that implies that there are certain levels of authority. There are no levels of authority when it comes to the Creator. Saying all that to just set the stage or give the background for the message today and why. And the scripture that we're going to look at is the subheadings in John 17, and we're dealing with verse 20 through 26. Subheading, that's our theme for today, is Jesus prays for all believers. Now, what took place before the 21st is whenever Jesus asked the Father to glorify him because he had kept the 12 men that he was given, that the Creator gave him. He kept them. And he gave them what? The words that the Creator gave him to give to them. He did not add or take anything away from them. So, now, what does that have to do with the scripture? It has a lot to do with the scripture, because in Jesus' conversation with the Father, he made it clear that the world hated him, so the world gonna hate them who believe in him, who believe that he came from the Father. So, and think about all of this stuff now. How does that, still asking me a question, how does that apply to verse 20, John 17, verse 20 through 26? This section is talking about us that's here on this earth right now, in the now, N-O-W. And that's one part of the name for this ministry, the now. That's why it's being called the now. We deal with what's happening now. We are applying the word as written 5,000, almost 7,000 years ago, 2,000, almost 2,000 years ago. We're applying it to our, we seeing if we can apply it to our daily situation, our decision-making process. And we're looking at what authority do we have for that which we are sharing with others? What authority? Now, let us read John 17, verse 20 through 26. I think this is the NIV. It says, and this is Jesus talking, not man, not John, but Jesus. It says, Jesus is talking about the disciples, the 12, because he already prayed that God not take them out of the world, but to protect them from the evil one. And as he was saying, truth, the spirit of truth. But so let's see what Jesus said. Let's look at this. What protection, what authority I have and you have for what we do and what we believe, what gives us authority to say some of the things about what we believe and how we can speak with authority when we telling people about the gospel message. It says, Jesus prayed, now this is Jesus. Jesus says, I pray, my prayer is not for them alone. Who's the them? When you go back up, you see that the them is the 12 individuals, the disciples. And he said that he didn't lose not one. The one that left, he had to leave to fulfill so the prophecy could be fulfilled. That's written in what people are calling the Old Testament. My whole thing is that a testament only comes when people pass on. But now let's go on. Okay, my prayer is not for them alone. It says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Now, what did he just say? What did he just say? He made it clear that people who don't even know the 12, don't even know him, that we will believe in him. We will believe that he was the one that was sent from the Father, from the Creator. And the message that they give us that's left for us, which came from the disciples, is what gives us that authority, what give us that understanding. Now it goes on, 21st verse, that all of them may be one. No. Why did I stop there? Because that we all be one. Man came up with, and I just look at this as the enemy, way of divide and conquer. I grew up as a Methodist Episcopal South, which is now called, known as the United Methodist Denomination. There was a Methodist Episcopal Aaron Zion, which was, and might as well say, in walking distance from us. Then there was a Baptist that was in walking distance from us because people used to walk there to go to church. And that was a couple of several miles that they had to walk. Could we sit down and be one? Or do we allow the doctrine that man had created, now man is made, to keep us apart? But Jesus said, prayer that all of them may be one, one, uno, one. Not Methodist, not Presbyterian, not Baptist, not Holiness, but one. And he goes on. Who is he addressing? He's addressing the Father. He says, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Now, you know, you hear that. People who are not believing don't understand what is being said here or how Jesus communicated or how Jesus perceived himself in the relationship that him and the Father had. We said, I can't be one with you. You flesh and I'm blood and I'm flesh. We all in the different bodies. But he's talking about spiritual things here. Spiritually, that can be. And the one that created you, in Psalms 139, he says that he knitted us together when we were in our mother's womb. And if we go all back into Genesis, what did he say? He breathed the breath of life into human. Breathe. He breathed the breath of life. You are the Hebrew word means breath, wind, etc. So the Creator put something in us that came from him in order for us to be. He put something in his Son. His Spirit descended into him after his baptism. Therefore, the Creator Spirit is in all of us. We just don't recognize it, some of us. Then go on. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Think about it. What is it? How do you carry yourself? How do people see you? I think this is the time we can ask the question that Jesus asked. Who do they say you are? Who do they say I am? And if they cannot see the Spirit of Christ in me, or see the Spirit of God, the Creator in me, how would they know? They would. They wouldn't know who we are or whose we are. we have to just get things straight. Jesus was getting it straight. Here he goes on, 22. I have given them is us now, we now. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. In them, Jesus doesn't leave anything for chance. He doesn't leave anything for you to sit and wonder about. What does he say? He made it clear in verse 22. I have given them the glory. Go back up now. What did he say about the glory? Whenever you begin to put this thing together, he says, I have given them the glory that you gave me. Who gave him? Where did the glory originate from? Glory originated from the Creator. And who did the Creator give it to? He gave it to the one that he sent to reconcile humankind back to him. May they also, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. See, he doesn't leave us in a room for interpretation. If we just accept this as written, why did I say that? Faith comes by what? Hearing. One, you have to hear what? The word. Whenever I hear this word, this is what I read this word, what I hear is something different sometimes. And sometimes it's in conflict with someone's interpretation of what this is saying. It goes on. I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete what? Unity. We got red states. We got blue states. We got conservative. We got progressive. We have liberals. We have a whole spectrum of things that divides us. That's from a political perspective. There's division there as well. That helps me to understand that which I see and that which I hear that's going on in the world today. He said unity. Well, you got people that are not interested in unity. They're talking about separation. They're talking about red states, blue states. They're talking about conservatives. They're talking about liberals, progressives. Is that unity? No. The red hate the people who lives in, people living in red states hate the people who live in blue states and vice versa. And liberals hate the conservatives. Conservatives hate the liberals. The progressives hate these liberals. Even within these boundaries, there's tension and conflict in them. It goes on and talks about, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you love me. When you think about all of this, what is his focus? His focus is on you and me. And come down to the latter part of verse 23. If we did all of this, his prayer above will bring this part into existence. Then the world. That's why he said he didn't want the Creator to take us. take the disciples out of the world, because if he had, they would not have been able to leave a message for us. Now we go to 24. He said, Father, Jesus always make it clear what he's talking about. And he said, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. See, first thing people say, oh, well, Jesus come up, he wants us to be in heaven where he is. Okay. Somebody, that's one interpretation, but he doesn't say that. He says, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory. The glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world. Now, the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit say to us? The Spirit of truth. I'm going to lay that up to you. What did he say to you? What he might have said to me might have been different. Maybe he and I have a different relationship. But the bottom line is the same. Then he goes on, Righteous Father, though the world does not know you. Go back to what the world is explaining about the world. It says, the world does not know you. So, if the world doesn't know the Father, and Father created the world, and he put, it makes sense, why he didn't want us, why he didn't want the disciples taken out of the world, and why he wants to glorify us so that we can give the message in the world and what his message is in conflict with the world. So what does that say as well? That's saying that that's why he said that the world hated him, so the world gonna hate us. Because we believe in him and we are giving the word or the message that he gave to the world when he was here. And what did they do? The world chose who? Chose Barabbas as opposed to Jesus. And then it goes on. I've made you. They know that you have sent me. Verse 26. I have made you what? Known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. We run around here, some of us, we run around talking about what I did. I know I had colleagues that, oh, man, I really did preach something. I really did this. I really did that. And man, I preached so hard, I was perspiring all over. I had to go and change. I looked at them very strangely. My thing was, I'm not breaking the sweat. I'm not stomping the carpet and activating my allergy. The Holy Spirit speaks through me. And therefore, I don't have to go into any theatrics in order to communicate the word which I received from the Savior that he gave the disciples that has been passed down to me. And that now he chose us. He chose us out of the world to carry his message. Now, I said that I was going to share with you. I'm going to share with you a song. I can't sing it. I can't play it because I don't have the copyright to it. But I'm going to read it. And I want you to listen clearly. And it says, this is by her, Melvin and the Blue Notes, with Teddy Pendergrass, the lead singer. The title is, Wake Up Everybody, No More Sleeping in Bed. And now go back to Jesus' Prayer for All Believers. So this to me was, if I had to have a theme song, it'd be the theme song to my ministry. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Because Jesus has prayed for you. Because you are one of his believers. You have been called out from under the world. And you have been given the message to take to the world. Now, it just says, like I said, this was, I forgot to check. I vaguely remember, I think it was 1975. When this song was written, I first heard it. He says, no more backwards thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Isaiah 43:18-19. What does it say? He said, don't be going back. I'm paraphrasing it. He said exactly what he said here. No more backwards thinking. God is saying he's doing an old thing a new way. Do you not perceive it? Then it goes on. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Everything is revolving. Ecclesiastes said there's nothing new under the sun. So if there's hatred, if there's war in the world, the word says that there will be wars and rumors of wars. And Jesus made it clear that he came, and in his coming, it's going to cause tension and conflict because some people are going to believe him and some not. And as a result of that, that's where the conflict gonna come. It says, wake up all the teachers. Time to teach a new way. This is how, what we need to be about. Prayer. But his message, the message that he gave the disciples, and we believe in him through the message that they gave, he says, the world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Wake up all the teachers now to teach a new way. He didn't say teach a new thing. He didn't say make motivation and change to the word. Teaching a new way simply means that we cannot teach the same way. Well, I'm put it this way. I'm 77. There was no television the way television is now. There was no radio programming the way it is now. Things have changed. And what I got to do is to look at the way, I don't particularly care for social media. I really think that that's part of the problem because a lot of what you find on social media, a bunch of lies. I'm just calling it what it is. Somebody put something on there that's a lie, that's not true, and they get enough people following, and eventually people are going to start believing it. It says, teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. We look at now, the young people coming in that building, no. What is it, how is it that we got to modify our method of delivery method. And once we do that, we might be able to reach them. And then maybe then they will listen to what you have to say. Because they are the ones who are coming up, and the world is in their hands. Yeah, when I was coming along, the world didn't want to listen to us. We were talking about change. And how do we go about it? Protest, sit-ins. And we did that long enough that people started believing, people started understanding that we're going to have to deal with this indifferently. And we look now. What's happening now? You see that young people now are there about doing things a new way. And we're lamenting and crying like a little wimp, as opposed to trying to sit down and come into a level of understanding. Like, for example, rap music. If we would have sat down with them years ago when rap music first came out, I couldn't get with it. Because I grew up with the blues, with rock and roll, with all of that. Now here they're coming out with rap. And I'm sitting there, I can't understand what they're saying. I don't know why they're saying what they're saying. I don't know why they're doing what they're doing. I should have been listening to the message that they were sharing. And what happened, because I didn't and others didn't, we adults didn't, the enemy took it and modified it the way that the enemy wanted to modify it and give it out. So now you got it highlighting violence and all of that. Listen, when you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. All the foolishness that's going on now in the education system is just sick. You got people in the education system now that's promoting violence by creating division, by demeaning people's history, by marginalizing a whole race of people, by saying that those people's contribution meaningless. They meant nothing. And then it goes back to the course. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Think about it. It's not going to get any better. The world won't get no better. We got to change it. Yeah, that's you and me. You need to sit down and ask yourself the question, what is it saying to me? What? Then it goes on. It's two more stanzas to this. It says, wake up all the doctors. Make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch in all the hell. Think about medication. Think about who can afford health care. Think about all that mess that went on about the Affordable Care Act. And all they were talking about was providing, making sure that people had access to health care. It didn't say it on the one of white people. It didn't say it on the one of black people, red people, yellow people, green people. They were trying to get health care for the people. But then what did you do? You had a group of individuals who couldn't care less. It was all about them. And it says they are the ones who suffer and who catch all the hell. But they don't have very long before the judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? What does that say? That the disease, the aches and the pains that the elders had, just the fact that they lived as long as they did. And because of that, Would you not have mercy and give them the type of care that they need that will make them comfortable? Now it goes on. Wake up all the builders. Time to build a new land. Wake up all the builders. It's time to build a new land. Think about it. It didn't specify. So what do we have? We have builders. And what are they building? Who are they building for? You know, the poor, the Bible says the poor will be with us always. But not necessarily that same class of people, that same group. Some of those are not going to break out and not be poor anymore. But if we don't keep that in mind as opposed to the profits, how much money we can make, they will never. To me, that's what I hear. That's what I'm hearing. And you have to line up the message, the gospel message that we have, Jesus has charged us to carry. First Timothy, in the book of Timothy, he makes it clear that we should pray for all people. All. Not some. Those who are in authority as well. What? Why? So that we can have a quiet, peaceful, godly existence. And that doesn't mean you praying that they keep doing the same thing that they're doing to you. Now, the only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. And then it goes on. But for time, we won't go through this. We're going to do the last. It says, change it, Jeff. Change it, Jeff. Just you and me. And it goes on. Wake up, everybody. Wake up, everybody. Need a little help, you all. Need a little help. Need some help, you all. Change the world. What it used to be. Can't do it alone. Need some help. Wake up, everybody. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. Wake up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Wake up, everybody. That's why Jesus prays for us. That's why. That's what he meant for us to be about. Most of us, we were taught that, you can't change God. You can't change this. No, you can't. We don't have the authority or ability to do that. But we do have the authority and ability to go to the Creator and ask. And we need help. We need help. We can't do it alone. That's why Jesus prayed for us. Jesus knew he couldn't do it alone. That's why he needed us. That is why. It's not I did anything. It's the Spirit of Christ that's in me that's bringing about changes in people. Now, I just want you to think. Think about why he prayed for you. And when you think about it, what is it that he wants you to do? See, I'm clear about mine. When I look back, I didn't say I went back, I just look back. I always work with the youth, and the elderly. Because the youth back when gonna become the elderly today. And then the cycle just recycles itself. And it appears that's what the group that I'm called to. When I look at the ministry, it's really five legs. One is churches, a gathering place. One is the Body of Christ, Global Coalition of Churches, where we will come together as one, uno, one, and work to build the kingdom here on this earth. And you build the kingdom by taking the message to the people, and the message that you're given, people see the Christ-like figure in us and is drawn to him and to the Father. And in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then, it's very simple, go to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's establishing who you're referencing. And it says, thy kingdom come. Whose kingdom? The one that's in heaven. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And I'm challenging people now. You're talking about you want to die and go to heaven so you can have gold and rubies and all that. But that's right here in the earth. That's why he said, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Think about it. You're walking on gold. You're walking on diamonds right here on this earth. And if we do the message, gospel, to the people, we can find that quiet place. And maybe we can find some of that heaven on earth that we're talking about dying to go to heaven, go someplace. And this proverb is a deception of the devil, used as a deception so that he can use it to reward his people. But I just want you to think about what it is that you are about. What's your purpose for being here? How do you glorify? What glory did he give you to use to glorify the Father? Now, this went a little long, and that's because we didn't have anyone to call in. So let us pray. Almighty, everlasting Creator, we who you created and placed on this earth, you who you made it clear in your word that you gave the earth to the children of men, and you kept the heaven for yourself. I want to thank you. And I thank you for the spirit of truth as it is now. I see your hand as you're now bringing the truth to the people and people coming into an understanding of what you said and why you said it. And they are about glorifying you because of the Messiah that you sent to reconcile us back to you. As we go from this place, and those who listen to this program across the earth, touch them, protect them, as they listen, as they're being touched by the word, and they coming into an understanding. They are friends. They may lose their friends. They may be in conflict with the government where they are because they believe in you. Protect them, provide for them. In the name of your beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Yahshua, shalom, shalom, amen, amen. We will be here again next week. Tune in and be blessed. And during the time, during the week, with the word, allow the word to speak to you and through you and share it with others because we are blessed to be a blessing.